I have a problem. I can't get my space helmet on. And I'm trying to work out just why I can't get my space helmet on. But anyway, we'll think about that in our time. But there's actually a problem you may have noticed with my spacesuit, and I'm a bit concerned about it, because a spacesuit is meant to have built-in gloves and built-in boots. Otherwise, it doesn't really serve the purpose for which it's made. And then your helmet goes on, and it's all nice and airtight and things like that. Does anybody know why astronauts wear spacesuits? Is Matthew here? Because I'm looking for some answers for you this morning, Matthew. So, why do astronauts wear spacesuits? Yes, Judah? What was that? For oxygen, that is right. They wear them for oxygen because space has no air, has no oxygen. If we were in space, we'd go bah, 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 because there's no oxygen. So it's inside the spacesuit, and the life support in the spacesuit provides oxygen. What else? Pardon? Yes, Emma? Pardon? It's cold in space. My ears are not quite working the way I'm expecting them to. Got to get them syringed. It could be a big job. It's normally in space either very, very cold or very, very hot. In most places in space, it is very, very cold. Minus 273 degrees, if I remember my O-level chemistry. That is cold. But the thing is, if you go near the sun, it's very, very hot. And so spacesuits regulate temperature, and they have built-in heaters. So if you're in a cold place, they keep you nice and toasty. And that's why they have built-in gloves and built-in boots. Any other reason why we wear spacesuits? What? Yes, Matthew? No oxygen, yes. Anything else you can remember? What about pressure? Pressure regulation, because if you and I went into space with a spacesuit, there'd be a pop bigger than a balloon. So actually, the spacesuit is pressurized because we like a bit of pressure. And if we don't have pressure because there's a vacuum in space, then we just go pop. And I discovered something this morning I didn't know. They're also to protect us from micrometeorites. Little bits of stone flying through space that travel very fast, and it's good to have a spacesuit on. And last but not least, radiation protection. Because we love the ozone in the Earth, and without it, let's just say that gamma rays would not be good. And so a spacesuit helps someone to live. The thing is, whenever an astronaut has their spacesuit on, you can't actually see the astronaut because they've got their gloves and their boots and their suit, and they've got a helmet on, and it's always heavily colored. And so the thing is, you can't actually see the astronaut. You can only see the suit. And you know, the same is true for us, because, take this off for a wee second, I'm going to fall off. The same is true for us, because we have been given body suits to live on Earth. Just as an astronaut has a suit to live in space, the real us lives inside us, the Bible says. And the Bible calls it the heart, the spirit, the soul, the inner being. The Bible has lots of words for the same thing. And the reality is the real us lives inside us. And God has given us body suits to live on Earth. And without these body suits, we wouldn't be able to live. But the real us can't be seen, and it's inside us. So just like an astronaut inside the astronaut suit, you and I, the real us, is inside the body suit. And the bodysuit is an amazing thing. It's really important. God gives it to us. We're born as a boy or a girl, and we're born after we've spent time, even when we're alive, and the real us is inside our mommy's tummy, our mommy's belly. And God has given us the real us inside this bodysuit. So when a baby is born, a baby is very, very inquisitive. And it wants to try out five senses. Does anybody know what the five senses are? Can you name a sense? Like the first one could be to do with your eyes. Yes, Margot? Sight? Any others? Think of your face. Taste? Any others? The three more to go. Yes, Judah? And feeling as well. That's right. Touch. Emma? Hearing as well. And there's one more I'm not thinking of. Smell, that's right, smell. So, those are the five senses. And four of them are up here around our face, and one of them is touch. And so, whenever a baby is born, they can't see very far. They can only see a very short distance, and their sight is all blurred because they've been inside in the dark, and they didn't really need to see. So just like when sometimes when you wake up, it takes a moment for your eyes to focus. When a baby is born, it takes a while, weeks, for a baby's sight to be able to see clearly. And then when they see clearly, they're happy with that, and they love to hear things as well. And also then, they also love to start grabbing things and testing out touch. And so if you've ever held a baby and they grab your finger, they've got a really tight grip. Or sometimes if you hold them like this, they go for your glasses. If you're a glasses wearer, they love to go for your glasses. And they also then love to go for the taste test. What type of things do babies love to put in their mouths? A doody? A bottle? Everything really, isn't it? And it could be that thumbs go in the mouth, or it could be that the dog's tail goes in the mouth, because basically at some point, virtually everything goes in the mouth, and it gets a bit of a chew and a bit of a taste, because the baby is testing out the five senses. But here's the thing. When we're born, the real baby's inside the bodysuit. There's a story I love in the Bible. And it's a moment whenever John the Baptist comes close to Jesus for the first time. Can anyone remember the first time that Jesus and John the Baptist came within a few feet of each other? They were very close. Within their 30s? Was it at the baptism? When was it? When their mommies were pregnant. Can anyone remember the name of Jesus' mommy? Mary, well done. Here's a trickier one. What about John the Baptist's mommy? What was she called? Elizabeth. So, Mary meets Elizabeth. And Elizabeth had a bump because John the Baptist was inside. And at that time, John the Baptist, probably about this size. Do you know what size Jesus was at that time? He was that size. But what did John the Baptist do whenever he came within a few feet of Jesus? He leapt such that Elizabeth went, "My babies just leap within me." Now, how was John the Baptist as a baby in his mommy's tummy aware that Jesus was nearby? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. The fact is that you and I have the profound privilege, I should probably hold this baby a bit better. You and I have the profound privilege as those who are spirits within bodies to learn all about the physical world through our five senses and to learn all about the spiritual world through our spiritual sense. But here's the thing. Well, let's go back for a moment to the Garden of Eden. Can we go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? I think it might be the first slide. Here we go. So the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. So this is how the Bible says that human beings are formed. And God breathed into a man who was not alive, and he became alive. Can you say, do you want to learn a Hebrew word? The word ruach. Can you say ruach? Ruach. Can you say ruach? Ruach. In English, it's spelled R-U-A-C-H. You now know a Hebrew word, and it's the Hebrew word for breath. And it also means spirit. There's only one word in Hebrew that covers both breath and spirit. So, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the spirit of life into the man's nostrils. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says that God says to Jeremiah, I knew you even before you were born. I knew you even before you were conceived in your mother's womb. So we are spiritual beings, we are spirits, and we have body suits. And it's a bit like this. Whenever our spirit is in us and we don't know God, it's flat like this balloon. But Jesus came and died on the cross and brought us back to God so that our spirit can hear his spirit. So that we can be spiritually alive and aware of God's presence and we can hear his voice, not with our ears here, but with our ears here. Because we hear God and we meet God in our inner being. But the sad thing is, Adam and Eve, who had perfectly good spiritual ears, decided that they didn't want to hear God anymore. And so they took them off, they threw them away, and they thought, now I'll get on with my life the way I want to lead it. But what happened then was they couldn't hear God's voice anymore. And God loves to speak. And so what happened was their spirits went from being full and rich and satisfying, as it says in our reading from John, and they went like this. They went flat. Isn't that sad? They went flat. Now, boys and girls, if you go to the back, there's a balloon for you. And I'd love you to go back, and there's a balloon, and if you want to get a balloon, I'd love you to try this out. Then, with your mom and dad's or grandparents' permission, Gary has a balloon for you. So go and get a balloon there, and we're going to see what happens whenever we put breath into the balloon. So get a wee balloon there. They're back here. The balloons are back there. So if you go there, you get a nice balloon. And then go back to your seats when you have your balloon. And keep an eye, parents, please, with hazards. Give them a good stretch. That's a good thing. Okay, now you might need your parents' help for this. Take a deep breath and blow into the balloon. How's it going? Good stuff. And so what happens is, what is flat, and the Bible says even dead and lifeless, becomes full up with the breath. And this is what happens in our lives whenever we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives. Our spirit connects with his spirit, and our spirits, there's some balloons flying about there, and they become filled with life. And we can either tie a knot in them, or as we've just done as well, they're filled with life, but without God, they're just flat. And Jesus came so that the Spirit of God could connect again with our spirit, and our spirits that were flat and dead would become alive. And here's how this happens. It happens through Jesus, who died for us, bringing us back to God, washing us clean, making us new, giving us a fresh start. We've got forgiveness. And then what he does is, he gives us the ability again, because we're connected to God's Spirit, to actually be connected and be able to hear God. So in a moment, I'm going to come around. If you have a microphone, don't worry. I'm not going to put a microphone in front of you if you don't want to. But if you'd like to share something which you feel God has been saying to you recently, then I'd love you to share it. And it could be to do that you've experienced God's healing. Perhaps when we prayed for you last week, or someone prayed for you a month ago or whatever, a year ago, you experienced God's healing. Or God answered prayer for you in some way. Or there's a Bible verse that has really come alive for you recently and you want to share that. And I'd love us to have an opportunity to share that in a moment. So, give the balloons to your mommies and daddies or your grandparents for a moment, please, because there's something else I'd like you to do. I'd love you to get some pen and papers, boys and girls, the back where you got the balloons. Go and get some pens and papers, and a sheet of paper and some pens. And I would love you, whenever the grown-ups are sharing about hearing the voice of God and what Jesus Christ has been saying to them, I would love you to draw something that you feel that God is saying to you. Perhaps you want to draw a picture of God, or you want to write a Bible verse, or you want to talk about the love of God, then please write down on paper, ask God to speak to you, and then draw something on the paper. There's a verse that was on a moment ago there. It's from Romans chapter 8. Sometimes we're concerned about what might God say to us if we start listening to him. And it might be, he might ask you to stand at the front of a church wearing a space suit. Or he might say, would you like to go and be a missionary in another country? And sometimes we do want to hear the voice of God because we're concerned what he might say. But you know the thing that I have found over the years that the Holy Spirit says to me more than anything else? You are my son. And I love you. If you've become a follower of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God is connected with your spirit, then you will have discovered that the thing that the Holy Spirit says to you more than anything else is, you're my child, and I love you. I find the Holy Spirit says other things to me as well, but that's the thing he says most often. That's what Jesus says to me most often. He says some other things to me like, catch yourself on, Nigel. He says, wise up. He says, don't do that, do this. All because he loves me. But the main thing he says to me is, Nigel, I love you. And that's what brings us spiritually alive. Here's the way Paul puts it much better in Romans chapter 8. God's Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So how has the Holy Spirit been doing that with us recently? I've asked some of the prayer team during the week, they've had a bit more time to think about what Bible verse, what word of encouragement, what answers to prayer. But you may have been sensing something just even this morning. What has the Lord been saying to you? So please put up your hand if you'd like to share something, and give us a wee word of encouragement. If you pass that down to Paula, please. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Paula.
Just this week, I was thinking about the verse in Isaiah 46 that says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And it was just that idea that better days are coming, and don't draw long-term conclusions based on a short-term season.
Paula, thank you. So I believe that that is a word for someone here this morning, maybe for numerous people, that word of encouragement for strength. Eileen, thank you.
Just in the midst of the pressures of life, it's like God just would say, be still and know that I am God. And it brings such comfort when we can do that.
Eileen, thank you. Whenever we're born as babies, we very naturally work out how to test out our five senses, to test out our body suit. But actually, because of the decisions of Adam and Eve, we've lost the facility to know how do we grow spiritually. And it's only whenever we're in Christ and come back to Christ that we start to become aware of that. And one of the main things is that we learn sometimes to go and be quiet and be alone and spend time alone with God. Thank you. Anyone else want to say anything? A Bible verse or anything they've sensed? Liz, thanks very much.
I have a couple of friends, close friends, and the husband a couple of years ago had a very, very serious accident and very serious spinal injuries. And he has had some surgery, but to cut the story short, for 2 years he was in a lot of pain, and he then had 12 hours of spinal surgery on the 1st of July. And following that, he has been in excruciating pain. And he has a very high tolerance to pain, but he's been in excruciating pain, couldn't eat, was losing weight, couldn't take a lot of types of painkillers, including morphine, because he has bad reactions to it. Anyway, his wife and I keep in touch regularly, and our team have been praying, and I've been praying, and it was 4 weeks after his operation, and the pain was always 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, there was no doubt it was 10. So on this particular Monday, it was the 29th of July, and I was praying in the morning for different things, and I just sensed the Lord saying, I want you to pray for him more now. So that's what I did, and for about, I don't know how long, it wasn't that long, a few minutes, and I was really asking the Lord to please make a difference, take away the pain, to do something, because it was getting to the end of his tether, really. And I just sensed the Lord saying, okay, heard you. And I'm sure many of you have had that experience. And it's just wonderful when you sit back and you know the Lord has said, you can stop now, that's okay, I hear you. And the next afternoon, his wife contacted me and said, he woke this morning and said to me, I think I've turned a corner. And the pain was down to level 4. And this week, he's been driving his car.
Wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
That's brilliant. Thanks be to God. Thanks, says Margot.
I'm just going to say God saved me 8 years ago from addiction. And he sent me a message throughout those 8 years saying, just keep on the path. The light is in front of you. And I have kept that with me. And it's filled the hole in my soul. So thank you.
Margot, thank you. Bless you. Thank you, Michael. One more before we ask the children what they've been hearing, Michael. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Nigel. Well, my name's Michael. It's nearly 2 years since I'd done the Alpha course here at the parish. Before that, I was struggling with sort of pain and suffering, and you know, we all go through things and struggles in life. And it was at that I learned what it was to trust in Jesus, to hand it over, your stresses, your worries, your fears. And it was a wonderful thing. And there's a Bible verse, John 14, verse 27. It says, "My peace I give you, or my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And whenever I carry that wee card and I give it out, and I pick it up sometimes daily just to remind myself when the worldly things try and get in there, that lets me know, hold on here a minute, no, the Lord is with me. I carry his peace in my heart, and it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing to have. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's one of the other things the Holy Spirit gives, and it's a peace beyond words. It's communicated to our souls wordlessly by God the Spirit. And it is the peace that passes all understanding. In other words, it's a peace that's communicated, but not through the mode of rationality. Rationality is involved, but God speaks into our hearts spirit to spirit. Boys and girls, anything that you want to say, that you've drawn, or anybody else want to say anything in terms of what you feel God's been saying to you? Do you want to show me a picture that you've drawn about God or about Jesus? Judah, brilliant. Oh, table, okay. This is fantastic service. The picture is up here. Fantastic. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And a lovely heart, and it says, God loves us. Judah, thank you. Let's give Judah a round of applause. That is brilliant. That is good. Really good to memorize scripture, you know, because God uses scripture to speak into our hearts and lives. Any more boys and girls want to say anything? Or any pictures that you've drawn? Well, let's pray together. And just as we're praying, this morning, if you want to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, then I'd love you to pray this prayer with me. It might be a prayer you've prayed before. It might be the first time you've ever prayed this prayer. But echo this prayer in the silence of your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you that Jesus was born so that I could be born again. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross so that I could live. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you bring life by your Spirit. I believe in Jesus. So, Lord, make me new and speak into my life and into my heart, into my soul by your Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would help me to have ears that hear you. Help me to be still and know that you are God. Help me to trust that you are good. And help me to receive the new life that you give through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we say thank you. We say sorry. And we say, please enliven me by your Spirit so that I be able to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, help us to be aware of all that Jesus is saying to us. And help us to hear those words that he's always saying to us. I love you. I love you. I love you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.